John chapter 13, and we're going to read just down through from verse 1, the well-known passage of Scripture. And again, it's good to remind us sometimes of the well-known passages. Verse 1 says, "Now that before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poured water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus said unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was sat down again, he said unto them, Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I, then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them." May God bless the reading of his word even to our hearts this evening. Some weeks ago, in fact it seems some months ago now, in our Bible class we were dealing with this passage of Scripture, which started out to be a 1 week quick study on this story, but the actual fact then it turned into 6 weeks, I think it was, as we went through verse by verse. And it is the idea that we have here around the subject of leadership which we see from Christ. And I believe as we look at our society today and we look at the state of life as we know it, it's one of the greatest needs that there is today of the hour is leadership. One of the greatest needs of this hour is leadership. As we look throughout society, we can see politically those who are aiming to get into positions of leadership. And there is others who are jockeying in those positions looking for it. There is those places of leadership within the workplace, within the different aspects of life, community. And again, as we look out across, we see a world that seems to be in disarray in so many ways. We need leadership in family. We need leadership in our governments and business. And we need leadership within the Church of Jesus Christ. As I was looking and thinking of the subject of leadership, I thought I would look on Amazon just to see how many books there might be on the very subject. Whenever I put in the search for leadership, there were something like 70,000 books that I could have availed of, and somewhere along that there was always a subject of leadership. And yet here we have, I believe, one of the best examples of leadership in the Scriptures. Look there at verse 16. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Lord, or the servant, is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him." I want you to notice, firstly, the position of the leader. And one thing is sure of this leadership that is given here, it's not a position, an elevated position. You know, there is many times, and you'll get this within a church, you know, you'll find someone, whenever there's work to be done in a church, they're never to be seen. But as soon as the minister's sitting down with a cup of tea, that person might be with the minister just to be seen with them, or the special speaker of the day. They're looking to elevate themselves in front of other people. They're the people who want to get the limelight in those occasions. Now, before you get carried away with all your righteous thoughts or unrighteous thoughts, if we look over into Mark chapter 9 and the verse 33 to 35, you will see there another story. And it says there, "And he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked him, 'What was that ye disputed among yourselves by the way?'" So the disciples were having a conversation. And they said, but they held their peace, for by the way they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. He sat down and called the 12 and said, "If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last and servant of all." Even among the disciples, there was this jockeying as such for position, always looking to be seen as such. Many of a career has been destroyed by other people trying to get over one over them in a place of employment within a company. There is those that they might call the backstabbings in the boardroom. A personal friend of mine was a man who had sold himself out to the company as such, but yet one day somebody came along and they destroyed his career and he ended up losing his position in that place. He was stabbed as such in the boardroom. You only have to look at the programs on television, the reality programs of like The Apprentice, see people who are trying to get into position, trying to win a competition, and yet sometimes they speak so nicely of their leader, and then whenever it comes down to it, the words that they speak out and try and get rid of the person, they trample all over them. You only have to look at the political realm to see that as well. But yet every part of that permeates our society, every section of society. People don't like playing second fiddle. In Luke chapter 22, that same story that we mentioned there about the disciples, it's given here again in Luke 22, verse 24 to 27. It said there was strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And they said unto them, "The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be the younger. And he that is chief, as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth? It is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth." And Christ is giving himself here, in this, he's giving himself the position where he's serving and he's washing the feet of the disciples. He's taking that lower position as such. But I also want you to look even at the chapter in John chapter 13, verse 4 and 5. It says, "He riseth from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. And after he poured water into a basin, he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with his towel wherewith he was girded." We see a leader here who's productive. He's a worker. We can see how he is leaving the table where he may have been served, but now he has taken the other role of serving. In fact, he's went to the very lowest position, because this was a job that was given to the very lowest of servants, where they would wash the people's feet as they would come in with the dust on their feet. I wonder today, as each of us, if we were asked to do a certain job within the church, within a home, within a place of employment. My wife said to me the other day, the one thing she absolutely hates is cleaning toilets. I just wonder, if we were asked to clean the toilets, what would our comment be? Or would we be more apt to do the more prestigious roles? Isn't it true that so many of us sometimes are takers? So many of us want those positions as opposed to the lower ones. Sometimes we don't even want to be productive at all. We just want to float on past and do nothing. You might want to say they're like a Dead Sea Christian just lying on the salt. Dead, nothing, no life in it. But Christ here takes the lowest role. And it's a humble role that he takes. And we are reminded in 1 Peter 5 and 5, it says that we're to be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. But here we see Christ living that out, even among the brethren. It also reminds us in 1 Peter 5 and 5 that we're to be subject one to another. There's no such thing as a hierarchy even among the service of God. This work demands us not just to do the work that's before us, but in many cases to go the extra mile. In Matthew 5 and verse 41 it says, "Whosoever shall compel thee to go 1 mile, go with him twain." That was the law of those days. The Roman centurion could come and he could come to you and say, "I want you to carry my backpack for a mile." That was the law. And you couldn't refuse, or if you did rebel against him, you would pay the price. But I'm quite sure that many of the local people, whenever the Roman centurion would say, "Look, carry my bag for me," there was that resentment in their life. And is that not true even of sometimes where we can get to? We'll do the work, but we're resentful. We do it because we have to, or we feel we have to do it. But the great need for us, even in these days, is to reframe our thinking and to think, look at the opportunity, look at what we get to do here. And we have that choice in that way. But it's been productive. It's going the extra mile for people. I remember a man in the old Korean church. I was just thinking of him the other day and how many times I felt he was used and abused by going and lifting people in a car and lifting them to do shopping or do other things. But his aim was to bring them people to Christ. He was going the second mile, even the third mile. He was going further than he was even required. In Washington, D.C., there's a monument, which is an area of the Washington, which is laid out for 1 mile. There's these medallions. And it's all people who have made a massive contribution to society. And there's a medallion there just to a memorial to them and what they have done. 34. And I just wonder tonight, even as we think of that, the work that we're doing for Christ, you know, would there be a medallion left for us? That's a mile long in Washington. It tells us over in Matthew 24, "Blessed is the servant," or that servant, "whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing." We're to be productive, just like Christ. In many cases, doing the humble roles. The leader is to be a worker, a doer. He is one who is to be faithful and to be ready and prepared in that. It says there in that Matthew 24, verse 44, "Therefore be ye ready for such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh." We are to be ready, we're to be prepared, we're to be working in that sense. But we're called to be faithful, it tells us there, faithful and a wise servant. It's about doing the small things that doesn't always be seen. It's always turning up, it's always being there, that people can rely on you. Are you doing for Christ? Are you working for Christ? And I'm not talking about coming to church, coming to a building, again, just to listen to a message, but are you working for Christ? Are you working outside this building? Are you witnessing? Or again, are you lying back on the Dead Sea, on the salt, with no life in it? The position of Christ and the productiveness of Christ. I want you to notice very quickly the promotion of a believer. Turn over, please, to Ephesians chapter 6, and I'll do this very quickly. Ephesians chapter 6. The promotion of the believer, or the secret here that I believe is within this of having that promotion. And it's all talking here about the servant in Ephesians 6 and verse 5. "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters." There's the first thing. Obedience, being subject. I'd always find that whenever we come into presbytery, we come together as all the different elders, it's not any great pyramid structure, because every one of the brethren are subject one to another. We all have to be subject. But obedience in this case, "Obedient to them are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in singleness of your heart as unto Christ." That fear, that respect, that focus, that's where our heart should be. Verse 6 says, We're not to be men pleasers, but we're to be doers of the will of God. And it's from the heart. Every time we seem to see a problem, every time we get away from the humility, each time we want to rise up, it's a heart issue. And most of the time, whenever you get the problems in different churches, it's a heart issue. And here it is that the heart should be in tune with God and doing the will of God from our very heart. Verse 7 says, with good will doing service. That good will there is the idea of benevolence, of kindness, of that service. That's what it's about there. Christ reminds us in Matthew 25, he talks there about the servant. He says, thou hast been faithful over a few things. Over a few things. And sometimes we're always looking for the bigger or the greater, but we forget about the one who's faithful in the few things. And that word few has the idea of small or little things. Not just little in number, but little in size. In Colossians 3, 22 to 24, it talks there again about that singleness of heart. It talks there about, again, that fear and doing it heartily unto the Lord. And it says, knowing that the Lord ye shall receive your reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. There's the reward. There's the promotion that comes to the believer, not the worldly promotion. You know, it's that idea that says over in Luke 14 where the man is sitting down among the normal tables, and then the person says, friend, go up higher. The invitation to come to greater service, the invitation to take that more prominent role or that prominent position. And the Psalms remind us that we're not to lift up our horn on high. We're not to speak with a stiff neck. For promotion neither cometh from the east or from the west nor from the south, but God is the judge. He putteth down one and he setteth up another. Position, the production, the promotion. And I want you to notice, turn back please to John 13 and the verse 15. The pattern that is given for us. Look at verse 15. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Christ was giving as an example to his disciples that they would follow. They were coming near the end of their apprenticeship. The classroom, as we know, is important for learning. The books are essential to read upon and to learn even more. But here Christ is giving them hands-on experience. He's giving them an example that they're living in. And this is what will make the greatest impact even in their lives. In the chapter preceding this, in verse 26, it says, let him follow me. You want to serve the Lord, you've got to follow him. There is that pattern that we're to follow him in all things. That pattern that we have in our life is something which is to come across our community, our works, our schools, our home. People may not read the Bible, but they will read our lives. They will see the pattern lived out as we're living for Christ. In Proverbs, well-known passage of Scripture, in Proverbs 22 and the verse 6, it says there, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And here we see many times we spiritualize this verse in the sense that we think of coming to church, of learning Bible verses, and that is right in itself. But also look at the verse 7 straight after it. It talks about the rich ruleth over the poor. The borrower servant to the lender. Look at verse 29. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. This training is not just the coming to church. This training is about living for Christ in our whole life. Everything, how we do business, how we behave in society, this is a training that we're given. This is with the pattern that Christ is giving to us. In 1 John 2, verse 6, it says, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. We are to continually learn the pattern of Christ. Young people, many of them have that little bracelet it around sometimes with the word or the letters WWJD, what would Jesus do? And my, how we need sometimes in situations to remind ourselves, what would Jesus do? How would Jesus handle this situation? How should we handle it in light of that? 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you just want to turn there, please. Second Timothy chapter 2. In the verse 2 it says, and the things that thou hast heard of among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. We have the very pattern that Christ laid down for his disciples. Faithful men, that they might learn the pattern, that they in turn others might learn from them, that there is to be this duplication, there's to be this replication of what people are. And here we can see how they're to live. And so it is tonight, as we think of that pattern, we should think upon that, upon Christ. And as we live life with Christ, others can see it. And our children copy us, and they follow Christ even in that. I think as we come just thinking further on this, we also got to realize that there's a certain pleasure in serving the Lord. There's a certain pleasure in being a leader in these things. Because our pleasure should be in our serving of God. That's what we should get. The Bible says very clearly, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. There's a pleasure in serving Christ in that way. And even in that, in our service to other people, we are serving Christ. Galatians 1 verse 10 says, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, should I not be the servant of Christ? So our service is in the serving of others, and in the serving of others, we serve Christ. We are told in 1 John 3:23 that we're to love one another. I want you to get that tonight. We serve others. We serve Christ. We serve God through serving other people. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 24 says, let no man seek his own but every man another's wealth. Our focus is to be on other people, on their betterment, on their wellness. And verse 33 of 1 Corinthians 10 has the idea, even as I please all men and all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many that they may be saved. What service, what pleasure we have in serving in that case. How we're reminded even in Romans 15, how we're to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. So often we get so caught up in our own needs and our own things that we want. But yet we see here even God's children, how they worked harder, many times put themselves in difficulty. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. We need to get some of those verses. That's where we should find our pleasure. That should be important for us. Mordecai, over in the book of Esther, it says there that he's seeking the wealth of his people, or looking to the wealth of his people. That's what he wanted, the seeking, and the seeking with care. The seeking for wealth, welfare, prosperity of other people. The servant's pleasure is serving others. And in serving others, they ultimately are serving God. And lastly, and very quickly, I want you to look at the presentation. Look at over in John 13 and verse 4. He rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. Himself. He had to be ready in service. He had to be willing to do himself. He had to get himself ready. He had to present himself to it. In that presenting, he was handing over to place himself in the disposal of someone else. And I wonder tonight, even as we think of Christ, are we handing ourselves over? Are we presenting ourselves over to Christ that he might use us? In Romans 12, in verse 1, I'm going to find it in case I misquote it. Romans 12 and verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's a living sacrifice. We're to present our bodies a living sacrifice. It is that mortification of our members. It is a mortification of things like fornication, it says in Colossians 3 and 5, of uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, idolatry. It's those things are to be dead. But we're to live in that living sacrifice. We're to live in that place of purity, of morality, of blamelessness. It says they're holy. And it says it's also to be acceptable unto God. We may be acceptable to man, but are we acceptable to God? It's our reasonable service. It's what we're to give. And you might say, well, why? Why? It's because of the mercies of God. We don't deserve it. It is Christ who died for us. It says there in that verse 2, it says, be not conformed, be not patterned, be not molded into the world. It says, but be ye transformed. We're to be changed. And it's the renewing of the mind, that place of the battlefield, that place that needs to be renewed every day. We're continually bombarded with the messages of evil in many ways. We've been out in business today. We've heard things, we've seen things. The battleground and how our minds are to be transformed and our minds are to be renewed daily. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The proving, the testing, the examining, the scrutinize it. Christ, he came in his position of humility. He came and he was productive. He was a worker. He was a doer. Well, he didn't need the promotion. He had all those elements, but yet we in our promotion are to follow through in obedience. We're to follow Christ's pattern in all of these things. And we're to find pleasure in it, in that service. And how we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice. In Hebrews 12, and verse 28 and 29 says, wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably, with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. We are called to serve God. Will you be a servant leader? This is the leadership that is needed of the hour, whether that be in community, whether that be in a place of work, whether that be in a place of church, or whether that be at home, the position of a servant leader is needed. May God bless these few words even to your hearts this evening. We are going to come to our time of prayer. There's much to pray for. Sunday school is starting back this weekend in Bible class. We'd like you to pray for that. Pray for the children and the young people, even as come back, and also for the Lord's day services. Remember the Reverend Mercer's, he would prepare for that. And even as we come to that time where we have election of deacons and elders, I ask you to pray for that, that God would speak to each one of us and give us a leading in these things. I'm sure there's many other things. There's those who are sick within our church family. Pray for them and pray that God would be very near to them. And for many other requests, I'm sure they're out there tonight. So let's just take a moment and come to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank thee for this time where we've been able to open thy word and to look upon it. Lord, we realize that, Lord, as we look upon thy word, Lord, our lives are just mirrored, and how, Lord, we see many times our failures. How, Lord, we are not always living up to the standard, Lord, that you've given to us. And, oh God, we pray that even tonight, Lord, that you would meet with each one of us. And, Lord, that even that we might learn, Lord, to be that servant Lord, even within our places of employment, our homes, Lord, our community and our church, that we might be willing, Lord, to take the step forward, to do the things, Lord, that others may not be willing to do, to take the humble roles, to do the things that are less seen. Lord, that we might not be that rebellious spirit. Lord, we might be as a people, Lord, tonight, be willing to go the extra mile, to do that little bit more, Lord, to give that little bit more, Lord, whether it be financially, Lord, or in time. Lord, we come, Lord, and we look at society, and we realize, Lord, that we must be living in the last days of time, how things seem to be waxing worse, Lord. Lord, we pray, Lord, and we think even over these next few weeks, Lord, even our own town, where there is the Pride March, and the many, Lord, who be out, and rebellion, Lord, open rebellion against thee. Realize, Lord, that many times there'll come a great famine out against thy people. And Lord, how even this education in many ways, Lord, is our world has been educated by television, by films, social media, Lord, even through, Lord, how lifestyle should be living, yet, Lord, it's contrary to thy word. And Lord, we would remember, Lord, even our children and our young people, Lord, in these days. Lord, they might be strong, Lord. We pray that you would work through our young people. Lord, you'd bring them to that place, Lord, where they would be in that place where they would give their bodies a living sacrifice. And Lord, we pray that even we who are parents tonight and family members, Lord, that we might be an example to them. We might be a good pattern tonight. Lord, there's much of the world that is drawing them, Lord, even away from the Christian influence. And Lord, how to draw them away from that Christian influence, Lord, and try and draw them deeper into sin. Seek, Lord, to destroy their life and rob them, Lord, of their purity. Rob them, Lord, of anything, Lord, they might have signs of Christ, and Lord, they'd be tainted by the very smoke of hell. And God, tonight we pray that, Lord, you would protect our young people. Lord, you do a great work even through them. Lord, you know the many, Lord, even of our parents, Lord, who pray for their children. Lord, many times they might weep for them. Many times, Lord, they might be broken for them. God, we pray you would draw very near to them and strengthen them, Lord, even in these days. Lord, we realize, Lord, that they carry a heavy burden. They carry much pain, Lord. We know, Lord, that you're a great God. So often, Lord, we look back at the past exploits. We've seen tens of people saved. We've seen young people active in the work, Lord. Changes happen, and Lord, we know that you can do it again. We look throughout the different parts of the world, and we see, Lord, even people involved and people under persecution, yet, Lord, you're working. And God, we pray your hand, Lord, upon the work here in Northern Ireland, and the hand, Lord, even upon the work in Oma. And Lord, even our church, a greater part of our church over into the mainland and Southern Ireland, and Lord, even out around the world, oh God, that you would continue to work. We thank you, Lord, that we've got ministers, Lord, who are saved. Men, Lord, who have committed themselves to the gospel, separated themselves, Lord, unto thee. Bless us now, Lord, as we continue in prayer. Bless our time together, we ask. Amen.